If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Hello, and welcome to Dragonfly Tales, a story podcast with me, Emily. And each episode, I'll tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you. Happy Easter, folks! Yes, it's officially springtime here in the UK, and this weekend, most people are celebrating Easter. There are baby lambs, blossoms on the tree, and of course, chocolate eggs. Oh, I love chocolate so much, I would eat it for breakfast. I hope you are enjoying some Easter fun and treats this weekend. We'll be doing some shout-outs to new patrons after today's story, so make sure you listen out later. And to celebrate the Easter weekend, I thought we'd do a story that isn't really to do with Easter, but I came across it one Easter weekend when I was a little girl. Leo's grandfather, my daddy Vincent, used to love Easter time, and he would send me and my sister off on egg hunts. Sometimes we'd have to follow clues to find our final prize. He was really good at writing riddles. And then we would all get together for a lovely family lunch. One Easter, my daddy gave me a book of famous fairy tales by Hans Christian Andersen. Do you remember Mr. Andersen? He wrote beautiful fairy tales like The Little Mermaid and also The Snow Queen. You can listen to that in season 5. I loved the book so much, and one of the stories in it had dogs. We had a big dog growing up, and I always think of my dog Murphy when I tell this story, the tinderbox. But the dogs in this story are very special indeed, and I think we should start a long time ago in a far-off land. A long time ago, in a far-off land, a soldier was marching along the dusty road. He'd been away at war, had only pennies in his pocket, and he was tired and hungry. But he marched on towards the nearest town, putting one foot in front of the other, Left, right, left, right, left, right. He had a pack on his back and his sword at his side. The straight road began to curve, and there, standing under a huge ancient oak tree, was a strange-looking old woman.
"Good evening, soldier. Oh, what a fine evening it is. Back from the wars, are you?"
"Yes, Grandmother. Terrible it was. I wish never to fight in a war again. I've lost all I had except my life."
The old woman's eyes glinted in the evening sun.
"Oh, dear me, dear me. War is a terrible thing indeed. And you, such a brave lad. Perhaps I can help you, if you will help me."
Now, the soldier felt a bit uneasy. As I said, there was something very strange about this old woman. The way she seemed old and slow, but her eyes were shiny, and her fingers moved quick as minnows in a river.
"How can I be of assistance, madam?"
The old woman pointed behind her.
You see this old gnarled tree? It is hollow."
She knocked on the ancient trunk.
"There is a hole here where you can climb down. I have a good strong rope to help you down into the depths below."
"But what would possess me to climb down into the hole?" said the soldier.
"Money," the old woman said slyly. "All the money you could ever dream of is down below the tree. You climb down and get the money. Then I'll pull you back up a rich man."
The soldier was broke. This sounded tempting.
"What am I to do when I'm down there?"
"I'll tell you. When you reach the ground under the tree, you'll find yourself in a large hall, lit by 100 burning lamps. You'll see 3 doors, all unlocked. Behind the first door is a treasure chest full of copper coins, and sitting on top of the chest is a great dog, his eyes as big as teacups. But have no fear. Take my apron, lay it on the floor and place the dog on it. You can then fill your pockets with copper."
The soldier shrugged.
"Copper coins won't get me very far."
"Would you rather have silver? In the next chamber is another chest and another dog. Her eyes are as big as cartwheels. But she'll be no trouble for you if you lay me apron and lift her upon it."
The soldier moved closer.
"Silver? That's more like it. And what about the third chamber?"
The old woman chuckled.
"Well, inside that chest are coins of pure gold. And on the chest, a monstrous dog with eyes the size of the Round Tower of Copenhagen. But place the huge dog on my apron, and the gold is yours."
The soldier was intrigued by this story, but he wasn't a fool.
"Why don't you go down the tree yourself?"
The woman seemed to hunch over. She clutched her back.
"Oh, would that I could, but I am old and weak. Too old to be climbing up and down a rope. But you, oh, you're young and strong."
The soldier hesitated.
"So I go down inside the tree and become a rich man. What's in it for you, old woman? Do you wish me to bring you back some gold?"
Oh, no, no, she smiled. I've plenty of money. It's just that last time I was down there, I left my little old tinder box. 'Twas my grandmother's, you see, and it's very precious to me. I ask only for the tinder box. You can have all the money.
Well, what was the soldier to lose? She seemed genuine enough. He looked around. There was no one lurking in the trees, no robbers about to ambush him. Very well, I will go down. Tie the rope around my middle.
The soldier found the hole at the base of the tree and climbed inside. He could not see a thing. His foot touched nothing but air. There was a long drop down into the blackness.
Lower me down. Here I go.
Here, here. Don't forget my apron. You must take it with you. Now remember, the tinder box for me. All the money is yours, but the tinder box is mine.
The old woman lowered the soldier down through the earth. He clutched the rope and her apron as the darkness began to change. Below him, he saw light glowing, getting brighter and brighter. When his feet touched solid ground, he was indeed standing in a large hall, brilliantly illuminated with 100 lamps. The soldier untied the rope, stuck the apron in his belt, and looked around. Three doors, just as she said. The soldier stepped to the first door and opened it. Inside was a great treasure chest, and sitting on top of it was a large dog with eyes as big as teacups.
Well, well, aren't you a lovely fellow?
He went to pet the dog, but then he remembered the apron and spread it on the floor.
Come now, there's a good lad.
He picked up the large dog and placed him gently on the apron. The dog licked his face and blinked its huge eyes. Then he opened the chest. It was full of copper coins.
Ha! The old woman spoke the truth for sure.
The soldier filled his pockets with the copper coins, closed the lid, and carefully placed the dog with eyes as big as teacups back on the chest. Picking up the apron, he ran to the next chamber and was greeted by an even bigger dog with eyes the size of cartwheels sat on top of the second chest.
My, my! Your eyes are huge, girl! I could fall into them!
Again the soldier spread out the apron and placed the dog on top. He gave the dog a friendly pat and went to open the second chest.
Shining silver! Well, I'll be! I've no need for this copper.
He emptied his pockets of the copper and filled them to the brim with the silver coins. Then he heaved the dog with eyes as big as cartwheels back on the chest and picked up the apron.
Now to the third one. Could it be true?
As he opened the third door, the soldier jumped back in terror, for there was the chest, but on it a gigantic dog with eyes so enormous they turned round and round in its head.
Oh, the size of the round tower indeed! Easy now, boy, easy!
He lay the apron down.
The dog was incredibly heavy, those eyes turning round and round in its gigantic head, but he managed to ease the massive dog onto the apron. Now,
for the gold. The chest was brimming with gold coins. The soldier emptied out the silver onto the floor and began cramming gold coins into his pockets, into his backpack, even his boots and under his cap so that he strained to walk. "Oh, I can buy me a fine house and fine food, sweets and new clothes. Oh, I'll be the richest man in town, maybe the whole country. Ah, you wonderful dog, you have made me rich as a king." It was a great effort to get the dog back on the chest, and a greater effort to walk back to where the rope hung, so stuffed with gold was he. When he got to the rope, he called up, "Old woman, I'm down here. Pull me up, I say."
The tinder box. Did you get my tinder box?
Ah, no, I clean forgot that. Give me a moment. He looked about, and there by the wall on the ground he saw it. It was small and old and dented. What on earth does she want with this old thing? Ah, well, her business and not mine. I have it, old woman. Pull me up, I say. When he reached above ground, it was dark and the moon was full. The old woman grabbed him.
"Have you got it? Where is it? Give it to me now."
The soldier shook her off and stepped back. She looked quite mad. "Here, why do you want this tinderbox so bad when there's a world of treasure down there? You tell me now."
"I will not. Just hand it over to me, sonny. It's mine."
The soldier turned the battered box in his hands as the old woman hissed, reaching out her clawed fingers and swiping at it. "Easy now. Tell me the secret of the tinderbox, or I'll run you through with my sword, you old witch." The soldier drew his sword and pointed it at the old woman. She retreated.
"Curse you, soldier. We had a deal. Give it me."
"I will not. Till you tell me." His blade flashed in the moonlight.
"Curse you, oath! Curse you! Oh, never trust a filthy soldier!"
And she vanished in a puff of smoke. The soldier stood open-mouthed. A witch, surely? Still, I have the tinderbox, and I'm full to the brim with gold. Time to head to town and live the high life. Then he tied up all his money in her apron, slung it on his back like a bundle, put the tinderbox in his pocket, and walked off to town. When he got there, the soldier went straight to the finest hotel and got the best room. He ordered the most delicious food for dinner, ate his fill, and the next day he went and bought the most expensive clothes, a carriage. He found a servant to dress him and polish his boots. The soldier walked the streets in a fine top hat with a walking cane. He had dinner with all the important townsfolk. He went to the theatre and the ballet. And he spent his money everywhere, on drinks and fine meals, paying for everyone. So he suddenly found he had many new friends. The whole town was talking about this handsome, rich stranger, so generous with his gold. At dinner with the mayor one night, he heard about the king and queen of the land and their mysterious daughter, the princess.
"I hear she's very beautiful," said the mayor, "but no one ever gets to see her."
"Well, why is that?" Well, said the mayor's wife, when the princess was born, a prophecy decreed that one day there would be a union between her and a common soldier. Oh, can you imagine? How disgusting. So her parents locked her away in a tower. We can't have common soldiers marrying princesses, can we? The soldier wanted to speak up, wanted to tell them that he himself was a common soldier and there was nothing wrong with him. He had fought in wars for these people. How dare they be so rude? But he held his tongue. These people see nothing but money. Come to think of it, maybe that's all I see too. Money gets you places, but it sure makes you mean. The money did not last, for the soldier had no job. His pile of gold got smaller and smaller. Until one day, the soldier couldn't afford to stay in the finest hotel, and he couldn't afford fancy food. Then the mayor and his wife had no desire to have dinner with him. He was left with just a few shillings. So the soldier spent his last coins to stay in a shabby little room in an attic. He had no servant now. None of his new friends came anywhere near. No heating, no money to buy some dinner. He sat, shivering, staring at the unlit candle on the table. Not even enough money to buy matches to light this candle. Wait a minute. I still have that old tinderbox the witch wanted. At least I can strike a light for this candle. He searched the room for his old uniform and found the tinderbox in one of the pockets. Here goes. I hope it still works after all these years. He struck the flint and steel inside. There was a gust of wind. The door flew open, and there stood the dog with eyes as big as teacups. Well, I'll be. It's you, my old friend, summoned here by the strike of the tinderbox. Does it call the other dogs too? Ah, so that's the secret of the tinderbox and why that old witch wanted it. I am in need of money, my dear friend. Can you help me? In a flash, the dog was gone and returned with a bag of copper coins in his jaws. The soldier very soon discovered that if he struck the flint once, the dog with teacup eyes would come and do his bidding. If twice, the dog came from the silver chest, and if three times, the dog with eyes like the round tower would come. The soldier had plenty of money again, so he moved back to a nicer room in the Oak Tree Inn. Not so grand as before, but good enough. He could see that some people only wanted to be around him for his money. Like vultures circling a carcass, he saw the greed in other people. They would smile and be oh so friendly, hoping he would pay for everything as before. But he remembered how quickly they had deserted him when his money ran out, and how cruelly they spoke about poor people. There were many poor people on the edges of the town. Men, women and children struggling to survive. So the soldier tried to help them as much as he could. But he soon found the king and queen had many laws that were unfair. The problem, as always, came right from the top. And what of their poor daughter, locked away in a tower for fear she might marry a common soldier? I'll show them, he thought. At midnight, in the quiet of his room, he struck the tinderbox just once. The dog with eyes as big as teacups was in front of him, big as a pony. "My dear friend, there is a princess locked in a tower, and I wish to help her. Can you bring her to me?" The dog vanished in an instant, but before the soldier could turn around, the dog had returned, with the princess sleeping on his back. She was wearing her nightgown and her feet were bare. She was very beautiful. The soldier felt so sorry for her and whispered to her softly as she slept. I'm so sorry. Oh, this was a bad idea. Your Highness, I had no right to do this without your permission. I just felt so sorry for you, trapped in that tower. The princess began to wake up, slowly opening her eyes as the soldier talked away. Her first thought was confusion, then fear, then anger. She spied his sword by the bed, and as the soldier continued to speak his woes, she waited until his back was turned. Then she leapt from the dog's back, grabbed the sword, and pointed it at the soldier. "How dare you? Who are you? And where am I? And what is this dog? Its eyes are as big as teacups." The soldier raised his hands. Your Highness, I'm sorry. I'm a poor soldier. You are in the Oak Tree Inn. The dog brought you here. He will not hurt you. He's a kind of magical beast." The dog licked the princess's hand, and she lowered the sword. "I have been in that tower since my birth. I've not seen another place, nor spoken with anyone but the king and queen. A prisoner my whole life." "I am sorry for it," said the soldier. "I wanted to help." The princess looked at the huge dog and stroked his head. "You are a wonder indeed. I thank you. Thank you both. But what am I to do now?" The soldier was anxious for her. When she was found missing, the towns and villages would be searched. "Perhaps we should not be too hasty. We need to think of a plan. My dog can bring you away from the tower any time. But without strategy, you would be captured again for sure." "This feels like a dream, soldier. Am I dreaming? Perhaps you are not real and I am just asleep in my tower." "Oh, this is no dream, princess. Here, I'll prove it. Take this gold coin. If you still have it in the morning, you will know that this is real. Will you come again of your own will tomorrow night? I'll send the dog at midnight, and together we can make a plan."
"How do you summon the dog?" asked the princess.
"With this." And he showed her the tinderbox. But when the princess woke up, she was in her own pristine bedroom in the tower. "Oh, it was just a dream. I am still a prisoner." When the queen came to bring her breakfast, the princess got out of bed to curtsy. The queen spied the soles of her feet, a little dusty, as if she had stood in another room, and something else was different.
"What is that, child, on your pillow?"
The princess turned and saw the gold coin.
"Not a dream. The soldier was real."
"What was that you said? Soldier, how did that coin get here?"
The tooth fairy?"
But the queen was not to be fooled. She went straight to the king and told him.
"And you are certain you've never seen that coin in her room before?"
"Never," said the queen.
It has come from outside the tower, and I distinctly heard her mutter the word soldier under her breath. It is the prophecy. The king sprang from his throne. Double the guards to the tower. She must be kept locked away. Wait, said the queen. Her feet. Somehow, I have no idea how, somehow she left the palace last night and returned. If it is to happen again, we must find where she goes, to whom she goes in secret, and they must be punished.
Very well, said the king. She must be followed.
That night, the dog came for the sleeping princess. Then he bounded out of the tower's tall window, floating down and down, landing as lightly as a kitten. Then the dog raced through the town to the soldier's house, but behind them, the king's captain of the guards followed in the shadows. When he saw the dog enter, the captain crept over and drew a large chalk cross on the front door. Then he returned to the palace.
Easy to find now, soldier boy.
The next day the king mounted his horse and with his armed guards rode into the town to find the door with the cross.
Here it is! We shall arrest the scoundrel who lays within. Guards, break down the door.
A guard called out.
Sire, are you sure it's not this one?
No, over here, it's this one.
What about this one?
The king spun around. To his horror, he saw that all the doors of the town were covered in white crosses.
Curses! We have lost him. Back to the palace at once.
From his window, the soldier watched the troop head back to the palace. He smiled and patted the dog with eyes as big as cartwheels, who spat the stick of chalk out of her mouth.
Well done, my girl. It's a good job we spotted the captain last night. The princess has agreed to come again tonight. Our plan is almost complete.
The king was furious. He threatened to burn down every house in the kingdom, but the queen was a clever woman, and she had another idea. The queen took a large pair of gold scissors, cut material from a ream of silk, and made a neat little bag. She then filled it with fine white flour. As soon as the princess fell asleep, the queen crept into her room, tied the bag around the princess's neck, and with her golden scissors, cut a hole in the bottom of the bag. She then slipped out. As the dog with eyes as big as teacups carried the princess through the streets, he did not notice the trail of flour being left behind. In the morning, the guards followed the white trail all the way from the palace walls right up to the soldier's door. The soldier was arrested and brought before the king and queen.
You will be thrown into the dungeon, and tomorrow you will be taken by cart to the gallows in the public square. There you will be hanged for all to see, as a warning to all others. Guards, take him away.
The soldier sat in the dark dungeon, his head in his hands. It was all over. He could hear the sound of the drums beating, the sounds of workmen building the terrifying gallows. Tomorrow he would hang. Oh, curse that old woman and her tinderbox. I didn't even have time to grab it when the guards arrested me. It's still back in my room. Nothing can save me now. Up in her tower, The princess had one small barred window that looked out over the town. She could see the crowds gathering in the square and the grisly gallows being built. A group of children were playing near the river just below the tower. She tried to shout down to them, but her voice was carried away on the wind. Then she remembered the gold coin. The princess hastily wrote a note, wrapped it round the gold coin, and then dropped it down, down, down the tower. It landed next to one of the children, who looked up and saw the princess waving back. The child was too little to read the note, so she called her big sister over.
"Gimme that. Oh, it's a gold coin. What's this note say?" "Get the soldier's tinderbox from the oak tree inn. Give it to him any way you can. You may keep the gold. Signed, the princess." "Look, there she is. She's waving. Hello, princess. Come on, let's go to the inn."
At midday, the church bell sounded, and the poor soldier was taken from the dungeon and placed in a cart to be ridden through the streets on the way to the hangman's noose. The crowd did not boo or jeer him. They wept silently as the cart carried the poor man towards the town square. When he saw the gallows, the soldier's blood froze. His time had surely come. But just then, two girls came pushing their way through the crowds.
"Soldier! Soldier! Here! Here, from the princess!"
They threw the tinderbox into the cart and the soldier grasped it in his shackled hands.
"Thank you, children."
The cart stopped at the foot of the platform. The king and queen looked down from the mayor's grand balcony as the guards dragged the soldier up and placed the hangman's noose about his neck. The king spoke.
"Have you any last requests, soldier?"
"Yes, sire. Would you permit a dying man to have a final smoke of his pipe?"
The crowd turned to the king, their faces pleading.
"Very well, you may smoke your pipe before you die."
"Thank you, sire."
The soldier held up the tinderbox in his hands. The crowd was still. Then he struck it once. The dog with eyes the size of teacups appeared at his side, teeth bared and growling. He struck it again, and the dog with eyes as big as cart wheels arrived. She howled, and the crowd backed away, screaming. On the third strike, the gigantic dog with eyes as big as the round tower of Copenhagen loomed over the crowd, its wild eyes spinning in its head. The soldier turned to the dogs.
"Save me, my faithful friends!"
The dog with teacup eyes bounded off the platform and chased the king's guards, who fled in a panic out of the town and over the hills. The dog with cartwheel eyes grabbed the mayor and his wife in her jaws and tossed them up into the air and into the river, where they sat bawling and crying and soaking wet. Then the dog with eyes as big as a round tower edged towards the king and queen on the balcony, massive teeth bared, saliva dripping from its mammoth jaws.
No, good doggy.
Yes, nice doggy.
And then it swallowed them. The princess was released from the tower, and she set about changing the way things were run. Kings and queens, that was far too old-fashioned. So she proposed a people's republic, with a fair system so that everyone in the land could have their voices heard. and her dear friend the soldier and his faithful dogs with their huge eyes helped her to do it. They worked in union together and brought peace and prosperity to the land. The prophecy had come true, but not quite as the king and queen had thought. And the old witch, she went off into another story. The end.
So, listeners, did you like that story? What was your favourite bit? My favourite bit about this story is surely the dogs, those wonderful dogs with their huge eyes. I used to imagine that I could summon them up when I was a little girl and that they would do my bidding. And a tinderbox isn't really something we use anymore. But I'm sure you've heard of flint and steel and striking a light. Now we have some shout-outs to some new members of our club and some of our April birthday babies. Firstly, here's a shout-out to Annika from Los Angeles, and she is turning 6 next week. She loves the Greek myths and also the very popular Mama Draga. Happy birthday for next week, Annika, and thanks for listening. Here's a shout-out to new members Frey, who is 6, and Mio, who is 3, and they're from Geneva in Switzerland. Hi, Frey. Hi, Mio. Thanks for listening. Next, we have a shout-out to Jack, who is 9, Tom, who is 7, and Sam, who is 3, and they're in Canterbury in Kent. They love the Greek myths, Robin Hood, and of course, the Boogeyman song. And a shout out to Mum Gemma too. Hi folks, thanks for listening. Here's a shout out to Leo, great name, who is 4 and he's in Boulder, Colorado with big sister Lara. His favourite stories are Goldilocks and Thor's Wedding. Hi Leo, thanks for listening. And finally, we've a shout-out to Soren in Talent, Oregon, and she just turned 7. Happy birthday, Soren. Hi, Sister Nova. Thanks for listening. That was brilliant. We'll be doing more April baby shout-outs next episode. So if you're a little sprite or a power pixie and your birthday is in April, your shout-out is coming soon. And remember, if you would like me to mention your name on the podcast, come and join us on Patreon for birthday shout-outs, extra stories and ad-free content. So that's it for this episode. You can listen to part 3 of Beowulf and the Dragon over on Patreon right now. And there's also a 3-minute myth coming up. Please take the time to leave us a little review and thank you so much. You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily. I hope you enjoyed the podcast and I'll have another story coming soon. But until then, my story is told, but that's not where it ends. The story's now yours. Go share it with your friends. Bye.
Our podcast is brought to you by Emily, Andy and Leo at Dragonfly Tales UK. Come and join our Patreon club for shoutouts, extra stories and ad-free content. Search Dragonfly Tales to follow us on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. Thanks for listening.